Amen. Please be seated. Well, again, this morning we continue with our series, All In and All In for Transformation. We are covering that throughout our Easter season, reviewing again what our vision is here at St. Peter's, what we think the Lord God is up to in us and what He wants to achieve. And first and foremost, He wants all of us to be in. It's become so popular these days for churches to be described by the 80-20 rule. Not everyone's engaged. 20% of the people are doing 80% of the work. We want everyone in. Why? Because it's a biblical concept. Paul lays that out really well in 1 Corinthians 12. There we hear the apostles say that if we can say Jesus is Lord, we say it by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit that enables us to say that also endows us with a gift, one or more gifts that we might use for the welfare of the whole body, for the church. He goes on to describe what it would be like for one part of the body to be rejected or to refuse to play its part. A hand can't say that it's not a hand, and the rest of the body can't say we don't need the hand. I mean, think about what that means for us. Have you ever tried to play soccer without a goalie? Have you ever tried to play baseball without a catcher? I mean, it can be done, but the game's not going to go all that well. Every person has to play his or her part. Every one of us endowed with a gift, 100% of us engaged, all in. That's what the Lord expects of His church. That's what the Lord expects of us. All in, but not all in for just anything. It's all in for transformation. Paul describes that in 2 Corinthians 3, where we are told in the New Covenant, what the Holy Spirit is up to is transforming us into the likeness of Jesus Christ. There is an image into which we are being sanctified, into which we are being transformed, into which we are being morphed. And that is the image of Jesus Christ. And so we want to all be in for transformation, all engaged in the life of the church, but with the hope that God is going to make us a little more like His Son today than we were yesterday, a little more like Him tomorrow than we are today. All in and all in for transformation. That is where the Lord is leading us. That is the vision of this church. That's what your leaders have contemplated over these past few months. That's what they've owned and said that we believe that God wants to achieve in this church. And the means by which we do that is through purpose-driven teams. Teams formed around the purpose of the church, led by leaders, developing even more teams beneath them that engage every single person so that no one can say, I was without opportunity. I was without a chance to be involved. We mean for every person to be involved. What are those purposes? Well, we've already talked about in our series, worship, one of the key components of who we are as a people, discipleship that comes from the great commandment, that we are to be engaged in ways and means that lead us to being more like Jesus and to disciple other people as well. In the weeks ahead, we'll talk about service and fellowship, but today we talk about evangelism. Also comes out of the Great Commission to go and to make disciples. We are being used to draw people into relationship with God. That's right, today we're going to talk about the E word. Sadly, it's become like the C word. Too often in the church, we don't talk about evangelism. Why? Well, faith is a personal matter. It's a private matter. And I want to say to you, it's always personal and it's never private. It's always personal. Of course it is. It redeems us as individuals, but it's never private. It's never to be taken out of the public square. It always speaks into the culture in which we live. We are to be evangelists. We are to be evangelizing. Well, let's start with that word alone. Hoiangelion, what does it mean? It means good news. We are essentially people about good news. It describes a world that is broken and being fixed by God in the person of Jesus Christ. And we're about telling the world this good news. We're not about damning people. We're not about condemning people. We're about promoting Jesus Christ through which they can have new and abundant life now and forever. Hoiangelion, good news. That's what we are about. We heard in the gospel lesson this morning about Thomas taking the doubts that any one of us would have, that God would raise Jesus Christ from the dead, having been crucified on the cross. He takes those doubts to Jesus and He confronts them for us. He addresses them for us. And Jesus says to him, you've seen and believed. Blessed are those who do not see and yet believe. Our doubts have been satisfied by Thomas, and we are blessed, those who follow after in generations to come, who believe the great news, this great news that God has raised Jesus from the dead, because we haven't seen. And then the Apostle John goes on to say, and this book is written. And it includes miracles, but not all the miracles that Jesus performed, but it includes these stories that those who read it, that those who hear the gospel might believe and have life in Jesus' name. Life. Life hereafter, that is, avoiding the consequences of our sin, but life abundantly while we're here on earth. We are to have life in His name. That's the good news that we promote. And in Acts, we're told to be about that. The disciples, Jesus is now raised from the dead, preparing to ascend to sit at the right hand of His Father. And they raise the question, is now when you're going to restore the kingdom of Israel? And He says, well, that's not for you to know. The hours that my Father set to do that. He's not so interested in their desire to see the nation of Israel restored to its greatness. No, He has another thing in mind. He says, you stay where you are and you will receive power from the Holy Spirit. And what will they do with that power? They will bear witness to Him to the ends of the earth. To the ends of the earth. They will bear witness. That's what we are to do. Spirit-empowered people are to bear witness to Jesus Christ. What does that look like? Well, what does a witness do? A witness tells the story. The whole truth and nothing but the truth. That's what a witness is called to do, is simply to tell the story. And that's what they were being called to do, to tell others who came after them, hey, we've experienced Christ alive and well. God raised Him from the dead, vindicating His ministry and providing for us in Him new and abundant life, life that can be enjoyed now and life that will be enjoyed forever. That's what we do as witnesses. We tell that story to an unbelieving world. We're being called to do it. That's the meta narrative that in God, in Jesus Christ, God is reconciling the world to Himself. And so we tell that story again and again. And we don't have to jazz it up. We don't have to do it with eloquent speech. It has power in and of itself to draw others into a relationship with God. But we do have to play our part. We do have to be faithful to being witnesses, to telling the story, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And we tell that story through ourselves. In one other place, in 2 Corinthians 5, Paul talks about how we are ambassadors, that God is making His appeal through us. And so one of the things that we do within our witness is to bear witness through the stories that we have. How was I made a part of this great and glorious story of God reconciling the world to Himself in Jesus? You are to make your witnesses with your story. How were you made a part of this narrative, this great thing that God is doing? It's truth through personality. It's truth through us. We have a story to tell, and we're meant to tell it about the life that we enjoy now. And towards that end, we've asked a couple of people to pray about whether they would bear witness this morning to what God is doing in their lives, where He's been for them, and how He's engaged them in recent months or recent years. And I'm going to ask, I believe Bob Alton is prepared to come up and say a word about what the Lord's doing in his life. Bob, are you ready? Come on up.
Good morning, children of God. I shared with the priest last week an experience I had in this service last Sunday, and it was a rare experience for me, and maybe many of you had the same experience. I pray that you did. But I was totally unaware and unexpected it when Richard started the song of Beethoven's Ode to Joy, an epiphany began to happen. I use the word epiphany as a, for lack of a better description. It seemed as if I woke up from a dream, and everything in here was gorgeous. And I felt the presence of the Lord. And I know that presence because I have been in His presence many times. The priest was preaching last Sunday the Word of God. The Holy Spirit came in and to me confirmed every word that John preached. He's preaching what got on God's heart. And if you read the first page of the paper today, you'll see how the many people who did not come to church are Christians, 61%, but they don't come because of their past experience. But let me tell you, the Lord was here last Sunday. I know that. I know His presence. And the only way I can explain it to you is in the words of a beautiful little Crucillo song we sang years ago that Terry Fulham taught us. Surely the presence of the Lord was in this place. I could hear, I could feel His mighty power and His grace. And I could see the look of glory on every face. Surely, the presence of the Lord is in this place. And as long as He is, you can't keep people away because they are hungry for Jesus. The world is hungry for Jesus. And as long as He is here and the Word of God is preached, you won't be able to keep the crowds away. Thank you.
Thank you, brother. Amen. I think Jamie Holman has a word for us about what the Lord's been doing in his life. Thank you, Bob, for that. We appreciate that as Jamie makes his way up.
Good morning. Thank you. My family, I'm Jamie Holman. Obviously, John had introduced me. And my family's been a member here at St. Peter's for several years. And John had asked for me to say a few words, and obviously I'm more than happy to oblige. And I really thought that last night what I would really talk about and what sort of God placed on my heart, and I thought, well, I think I'd like to share a little bit just of how the Lord has been working in our family and just what St. Peter's has really meant to our family since we've been here. You know, some would, I guess you would sort of say it was a coincidence, but I know that God placed St. Peter's in our life at the perfect place and really the perfect time. Before we came to St. Peter's, we were members of another church, but at that time I would say we were just taking up space in a pew. We really weren't engaged and me being sort of the head of the household of our spiritual household, I probably wasn't doing the best job that I needed to do. And I was struggling with some things at that time. And my wife was also really needing a place to be filled more with the Spirit and hear the gospel. And, I mean, it's so funny because, boom, at this perfect time, St. Peter's is a block away from my house. Why don't we go up the street and go to church? Oh, okay. You know, what can you say to that? So we go up to Crestline, and the first visit in those early days, you know, the Holy Spirit was at work, and you could feel it as you walked in the room. The gospel was being preached, and it was a place to praise God for blessings, and we were just so thrilled to be a part of it early and still be there, here, obviously. And really, as my role as a father and a husband, I think, you know, everything revolves around the family right now. And the aspects that are really important to us and for me, you know, the children's programs that have really touched our family, this from everything, from when they were in nursery school to Wednesday nights for programs, Kingdom Kids, 456 now, my oldest daughter, Vacation Bible School. I mean, even just the way that St. Peter's goes out into the other parts of the city to preach the word and to get kids engaged and understanding that there's more to life than just in our little area here in Mountain Brook, and that there are people less fortunate and that we are blessed, and to really just bring the Lord closer to them, or bring them closer to the Lord, has just been terrific. And then from a parent and husband, father, you know, to create an environment where parents of any age, young or old, can come and share things that they've struggled with, and we could learn from each other how to parent, and also to be better husbands and fathers. And you know, for me, it's just been a blessing, and we're just really thrilled to be here, and God's really worked in our lives and our family, and we're just again, I'm just blessed, and I want to thank all of y'all and thank you, and that's about it.
Thank you, Jay.
You're welcome.
What a great story. Great witness. Well, you've been sitting here. Has the Lord put it upon anyone else's heart to just give bear witness to him, what he's doing in your life? I know it's spontaneous. Ann? As opposed? Anyone else? Sure, David.
John's sermon is centered on evangelism, and I never would have thought that I would be a priest 5 years ago. It was all you could do to drag me out of the house to go with the Sunday school class to meet people that came to visit the church, much less preach the word of God from up here. John took me on a trip to Rwanda a few years ago, and we were coming back. There was a man sitting next to Steve Kelly. He was another priest traveling with us. And this man and Steve were bickering back and forth. Well, not really bickering, but discussing, I guess, whether or not God really existed. And this man's belief was that God was everywhere. His energies and everything and so on and so forth. That's not important. But God put it upon my heart at that moment to speak up. I leaned over and said, I just need to interrupt. And I started talking to this man about the existence of the Word of God and how what he believed was really the spiritual connection of the universe was false. And I don't need to go into all that, but the point being is that God gave me some words at that very moment that I never could have spoken at any other time. And if I hadn't acted upon them at that moment, the man never would have heard how false his beliefs were. Truth was. I don't know what his name was. His name is John, if you'd like to pray for him. He's from Canada. And I don't know what happened, but finally what ended up happening is after several minutes of me telling him some things, he gave up. And he pulled his hat over his head and he says, I need to think about this. And you never spoke another flight on the trip back from London to, where were we going?
D.C., bro.
We were going from Nairobi to London. That's where the link was. And we split up and I never saw him again, never had a word from him. point being was that God gave me words at that moment to speak, and I acted upon him. And to me, that's what evangelism is for everyone. It's just the willingness to respond at the moment that God says so. You don't have to know anything because he gave me the words. And I urge you, when you feel that inkling that God says, speak to that person, allow the Holy Spirit to let you speak. Mm. And that's my testimony.
Amen. Thank you.
And that's a perfect segue back to 2 Corinthians, isn't it? That he's making his appeal through us. God can act in the world in many ways, but he chooses to act through us. He chooses to use our mouth to speak for him. We are his ambassadors, and we have to act upon that. And all of us are called to be engaged. It's not something that's set aside for the office of evangelist. Yes, there are those who are called to that task. But all of us can tell the story. All of us can bear witness to the ends of the earth. And that's what we want to see happen here at St. Peter's. All in for transformation in every one of us, 100% of us, engaged in telling this story, this beautiful meta-narrative of how God has redeemed the world in Christ, and our own personal story of how he's made us a part of it. That's his plan, and that's what we want to see fulfilled here. May we, by the power of the Holy Spirit, engage that mission. Towards that end, there are leaders here this morning that would be pleased to meet with you and talk with you after the service. I see Eric Williamson is here. Jamie Holman's a part of evangelism. Eric Williamson is helping us with outreach and missions. Peter Wright will be here after the service. They are deeply engaged. Mary Elizabeth Jenkins is our staff liaison to that team. Talk with them after the service. If you want to be more engaged in mission, if you want to be more engaged in bearing witness to the ends of the earth, and they will be in prayer about that. They won't have quick solutions, but they'll work with you to see that you're engaged in the life of this church. To the